the War Scroll, the Master Rule of War. The first attack of the Sons of Light will be initiated against the forces of the Sons of Darkness, which is the army of Belial. The troops are from Edom, Moab, the sons of Ammon, the Amalekites, Philistia, and the troops of the Kittim of Ashur. Supporting them are those who have violated the covenant, the sons of Levi, the sons of Judah, and the sons of Benjamin, and those exiled to the wilderness will fight against them against all their troops. When the exiles of the Sons of Light return from the wilderness of the peoples to camp in the wilderness of Jerusalem, 10 of the original 12 Hebrew tribes under the leadership of Joshua took possession of Canaan, the promised land, after the death of Moses. They were named Asher, Dan, Ephraim, Gad, Issachar, Manasseh, Naphtali, Reuben, Simeon, and Zebulun. All sons or grandsons of Jacob. In 930 BCE, the 10 tribes formed the independent kingdom of Israel in the north. The two other tribes, Judah and Benjamin, formed the kingdom of Judah in the south. Following the conquest of the northern kingdom by the Assyrians in 721 BCE, the 10 tribes were gradually assimilated by other peoples and thus disappeared from history. It is the belief held by many Jews that the 10 tribes will come back and the tribes will be united in the time of the return of the Messiah. Then, after the battle, they will go up from that place and battle the king of the Kittim, and he shall enter into Egypt. In his time, he will go out with great anger to do battle against the kings of the north, and in his anger, he shall set out to destroy and eliminate the strength of Israel. Then there will be a time of salvation for the people of God, and a time of the dominion of all the men of his forces, and a time of eternal destruction for all the forces of Belial. There shall be great panic among the sons of Japheth, and Assyria shall fall with no one to come to his aid. And the supremacy of the Kittim shall cease their wickedness and will be overcome without a single survivor. There shall be no survivors of all the sons of darkness. Japheth was one of the three sons of Noah. The descendants of Japheth occupy the isles of the Gentiles, Genesis 10:5, which are the coastlands of the Mediterranean Sea in Europe and Asia Minor. From there, they spread northward over the whole continent of Europe and a considerable portion of Asia. Genesis 10:5, NIV, New Living Translation. Their descendants became the seafaring peoples that spread out to various lands, each identified by its own language, clan, and national identity. Assyria was a kingdom of northern Mesopotamia that became the center of one of the great empires of the ancient Middle East. It was located in what is now northern Iraq and southeastern Turkey. In Genesis 10:4, the word is applied to the descendants of Javan and indicates, therefore, the Greek-Latin races whose territory extended along the coast of the Mediterranean and included its islands. It is generally explained as Cyprus in a narrow definition, or Sicily with southern Italy, Spain, and Rhodes in a broader sense. The statement of Josephus that all islands in the greatest part of the seacoast are called Kittim by the Hebrews, on the other hand, must be taken as the testimony of one well acquainted with the opinions of the learned world in his time. In Jeremiah 2:10 and Ezekiel 27:6, the isles of Kittim are expressly spoken of, and this confirms the statement of Josephus concerning the extended meaning of the name. This would explain its application to the Roman fleet in Daniel 11:30, so the Vulgate and the Macedonians in 1 Maccabees 1:1, Kedaim, and 8:5, Kidians. In the latter passage, the Greek writer seems to have been thinking more of the Cyprian Kidian than of the Hebrew Kittim. Then the sons of righteousness shall shine into all ends of the world, and continuing to shine forth until end of the appointed seasons of darkness. Then at the time appointed by God, his great brilliance will shine for all of eternity, for the peace and blessing, glory and joy, and long life of all sons of light. On the day when the Kittim falls, there will be a battle and horrible carnage before the God of Israel, for it is a day appointed by him from ancient times as a battle of destruction for the sons of darkness. On that day the congregation of the gods and the congregation of men shall engage one another, and the outcome will be great carnage. The sons of light and the forces of darkness shall fight one another to show the strength of God, with the roar of a great multitude and the shout of gods and men. It will be a day of disaster. It is a time of distress for all the people who are redeemed by God. Compared to all their afflictions, no day exists like this, and it is hastening to its completion as an eternal redemption. On the day of their battle against the Kittim, they shall go out to kill in battle. The statement regarding the congregation of the gods may point to angels being called Elohim, or it may point to Psalms 82. Psalm 82, New International Version, NIV, a Psalm of Asaph. God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. The gods know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, "You are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God. Judge the earth. For all the nations are your inheritance." In three groups the sons of light will stand firm to strike a blow at wickedness, and in three parts the army of Belial shall strengthen themselves to force the retreat of the forces of light. The number three signifies spiritual completion, or completeness. And when the banners of the infantry cause their hearts to melt, then the power of God will strengthen the hearts of the sons of light. In the seventh section, the great hand of God will overcome Belial, and all the angels under his control, and all the men of his forces shall be destroyed forever. And this is the total destruction of the sons of darkness and service to God during the years of war. Seven symbolizes spiritual perfection. Cycles of seven are sacred. The seventh day, or Sabbath, is the day of rest and sacred to the Lord. The seven-year cycles is the Shemitah, also called the Sabbath year, in which the land is supposed to rest. Seven Shemitahs lead to the seven periods of 7 years, and on the 50th year occurs the Jubilee. And the Holy One shall shine forth in support of the truth in the annihilation of the sons of darkness. Then a great roar preceded them when they took hold of the implements of war, and the chiefs of the tribes and the priests of the tribe of the Levites, the chiefs of the tribes, the fathers of the congregation, the priests, and thus for the Levites and the courses of the heads of the procession will go forth. The number of the congregation's tribe, family, is 52. They shall set in the rank the chiefs of the priests after the chief priest and his deputy. There will be 12 chief priests to serve in the regular offering before God. The chiefs of the courses will number 26 and shall serve in their courses. After them the chiefs of the Levites who serve continually will number 12 in all, one to a tribe. The chiefs of their courses shall serve each man in his office. The chiefs of the tribes and fathers of the congregation shall support them, taking their posts continually at the gates of the sanctuary. In occurrences of multi-digit numbers, the individual digits are examined as part of the whole. The digits are added together to get a single digit, which carries a spiritual meaning. In the case of the number 52, the two digits are 5 and 2. 5 is the number of grace in the Spirit of God. 2 is the number of cooperation, partnership, and witnessing. Together, the digits add up to 7, which is the number of spiritual perfection. The number 12 is significant in and of itself, without reduction. It is the number of government perfected. It is the symbol of theocracy, a government overseen and arranged by God. There were 12 tribes, 12 apostles who will sit in judgment over the tribes, and 12 gates into the holy city when it descends. When reduced, the number 12 comes back to the holy number 3. The chiefs of their courses, from the age of 50 upwards, shall take their posts with their commissioners on their festivals, which are new moons and Sabbaths, and on every day of the year. These shall take their posts at the burnt offerings and sacrifices, to arrange the sweet-smelling incense according to the will of God, in order to atone for all his congregation, and to satisfy themselves before him continually at the table of glory. All of these they shall arrange at the time of the year of remission. 50 is used approximately 300 times in the Bible. The number 50 points to deliverance and restoration following seven cycles of 7 years. According to Leviticus 25:8 through 55, special instruction was given concerning the 50th year. It was the year for the Israelites to rejoice and be jubilant. Therefore, the 50th year is known as the year of Jubilee, when the Israelites were told to proclaim liberty throughout all the land. 50 is also the number of salvation. In Genesis 18, Abraham's prayer was for God to spare wicked Sodom if 50 righteous people were found there. The base number of 50 is 5, which is the number of the Spirit of God and His grace. During the remaining 33 years of the war, the men of renown, those called of the congregation, and all the heads of the congregation's family shall choose for themselves men of war for all the lands of the nations. The number 33 reduces to 6. 3 plus 3 equals 6. 6 is the number for man because he was created on the sixth day. It is the highest and lowest man can achieve. It is the number of family because Adam and Eve were created together on the sixth day. It should remind us of our human incompleteness. 6 will always fall one below the perfect number 7. The sixth commandment calls our attention to the value of the human life that was created on the sixth day. It says, "Do not kill." Exodus 20:13. They shall prepare capable men for themselves from all tribes of Israel to go out for battle according to the call to war, draft, year by year. But during the years of remission, they shall not ready men to go out for battle, for it is a Sabbath of rest for Israel. The war will be waged during the 35 years of service. For 6 years the entire congregation will wage it together. Then the war shall be waged with divisions during the 29 remaining years. The number 35 reduces to 8. 8 is the number of the law and justice. Circumcisions took place on the 8th day, symbolizing being placed under the law of God. According to E. W. Bullinger in his book, Numbers in Scripture, the number 8 also represents strength and health. In the first year, they will fight against Mesopotamia. In the second, the war will be fought against the sons of Lud. In the third, they shall fight against the rest of the sons of Aram, which are Uz, Hul, Togar, and Mesha, who are beyond the Euphrates. In the fourth and fifth years, they will battle against the sons of Arpachshad. In the sixth and seventh year, they shall fight against all the sons of Assyria and Persia, and those of the east up to the great desert. In the eighth year, they will fight against the sons of Elam. In the ninth year, they will fight against the sons of Ishmael and Keturah. And during the following 10 years, the war shall be divided against all the sons of Ham, according to their families, tribes, clans, and their territories. During the remaining 10 years, the war shall be divided against all sons of Japheth, according to their territories. The entire war is made up of various battles, which will last for 35 years. A 6-year war will be waged by the entire congregation. 29 years of war remains, which will be waged with various divisions of the army. The following list breaks down the time frame from the first engagement to the last attack. Year 0 through 1, Mesopotamia. Year 1 through 2, Lud. Year 2 through 3, Aram, Uz, Hul, Togar, Mesha. Years 3 through 5, Arpachshad. Years 5 through 7, Assyria, Persia. Year 7 through 8, Elam. Year 8 through 9, Ishmael, Keturah. Years 9 through 19, Ham's descendants. Years 19 through 29, Japheth's descendants. With the first 6-year war, plus the 29 years of targeted incursions, the entire crusade will last 35 years. Mesopotamia, from the Greek meaning between two rivers, was an ancient region in the eastern Mediterranean, bounded in the northeast by the Zagros Mountains, and in the southeast by the Arabian Plateau, corresponding to today's Iraq, mostly, but also parts of modern-day Iran, Syria, and Turkey. The two rivers referred to in the name are the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. The land between them was known as Al Jazeera, the island, by the Arabs. This area would later be called the Fertile Crescent. The history, religion, and civilization of Persia are offshoots from those of Media. Both Medes and Persians are Aryans. Aryans who settled in the southern part of the Iranian plateau became known as Persians, while those of the mountain regions of the northwest were called Medes. The Medes were at first the leading nation, but towards the middle of the 6th century BC, the Persians became the dominant power, not only in Iran, but also in Western Asia. Persia became the general name of the whole country formerly comprising Media, Susiana, Elam, and even Mesopotamia. What we now call Persia is not identical with the ancient empire designated by that name. That empire covered, from the 6th century BC to the 7th of our era, such vast regions as Persia proper, Media, Elam, Chaldea, Babylonia, Assyria, the highlands of Armenia, and Bactriana, northeastern Arabia, and even Egypt. Persia proper is bounded on the north by Transcaucasia, the Caspian Sea, and Russian Turkestan, on the south by the Indian Ocean and the Persian Gulf, having an area of about 642,000 square miles. Lud was the son of Shem and grandson of Noah. In the Book of Jubilees we read, "Until it reaches toward the east, toward his brother Ashur's portion." Jubilees also says that Japheth's son Javan received islands in front of Lud's portion, and that Tubal received three large peninsula, beginning with the first peninsula nearest Lud's portion. In all of these cases, Lud's portion seems to refer to the entire Anatolian peninsula, west of Mesopotamia. Some scholars have associated the biblical Lud with the Lubda of Assyrian sources, who inhabited certain parts of western Media and Atropatene. It has been conjectured by others that Lud's descendants spread to areas of the far east beyond Elam, or that they were identified with the Lulabi. The Muslim historian Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari, circa 915, recounts a tradition that the wife of Lud was named Shakba, daughter of Japheth, and that she bore him Faris, Jurian, and the races of Faris. He further asserts that Lud was the progenitor of not only the Persians, but also the Amalekites and Canaanites, and all the peoples of the east, Oman, Hejaz, Syria, Egypt, and Bahrain. Aram is the son of Shem, according to the Table of Nations in Genesis 10 of the Hebrew Bible, and the father of Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. The Book of Chronicles confirms Aram as one of Shem's sons, confirming Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash as also on the list of Shem's descendants. Aram, son of Shem, is recognized as a prophet in Mandaeism and as an Islamic prophet. Aram is usually regarded as being the eponymous ancestor of the Aramaean people of northern Mesopotamia and Syria. Genesis 10, New International Version, NIV. The Table of Nations. This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. The Japhethites, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Rephath, and Togarma. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, the Kittites, and the Rodanites. From these the maritime people spread out into their territories by their clans within their nations, each with its own language. The Hamites, the sons of Ham, Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Raama, and Sabteca. The sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Uruk, Akkad, and Calneh, and Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh, Rehoboth-ir, Calah, and Rezin, which is between Nineveh and Calah, which is the great city. Egypt was the father of the Ludites, Anamites, Leabites, Naphtathites, Pathrusites, Kalushites, from whom the Philistines came, and Caphtorites. Canaan was the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and of the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hevites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvadites, Zemarites, and Hamathites. Later, the Canaanite clan scattered, and the borders of Canaan reached from Sidon toward Gerar, as far as Gaza, and then toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboiim, as far as Lasha. These are the sons of Ham by their clans and languages, and their territories and nations. The Semites, Sons were also born to Shem, whose older brother was Japheth. Shem was the ancestor of all the sons of Eber, the sons of Shem, Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Meshech. Arphaxad was the father of Shelah, and Shelah the father of Eber. Two sons were born to Eber. One was named Peleg, because in his time the earth was divided. His brother was named Joktan. Joktan was the father of Almadad, Shelef, Hazmaveth, Zerah, Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, Obul, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jabib. All these were sons of Joktan. The region where they lived stretched from Mesha towards Sephar in the eastern hill country. These are the sons of Shem by their clans and languages, and their territories and nations. These are the clans of Noah's sons, according to their lines of descent, within their nations. From these the nations spread out over the earth after the flood. Ezekiel 38, New International Version, NIV. The Lord's great victory over the nations. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen, fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. Persia, Cush, and Put, and will be with them, all with shields and helmets. Also, Gomer, with all its troops, and Beth Togarma, from the far north with all its troops, the many nations with you. Get ready, be prepared, you and all the hordes gathered about you, and take command of them. After many days you will be called to arms. In future years you will invade a land that has recovered from war, whose people were gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They had been brought out from the nations, and now all of them live in safety. You and all your troops and the many nations with you will go up, advancing like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land. This is what the sovereign Lord says. On that day, thoughts will come into your mind, and you will devise an evil scheme. You will say, I will invade a land of unwalled villages. I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people, all of them living without walls and without gates and bars. I will plunder and loot and turn my hand against the resettled ruins and the people gathered from the nations, rich in livestock and goods, living at the center of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all her villages will say to you, have you come to plunder? Have you gathered your hordes to loot, to carry off silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, and to seize much plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In that day, when my people Israel are living in safety, will you not take notice of it? You will come from your places in the far north, you and many nations with you, all of them riding on horses, a great horde, a mighty army. You will advance against my people, Israel, like a cloud that covers the land. In days to come, Gog, I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me, when I am proved holy, through you before their eyes. This is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the one I spoke of in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel. At that time they prophesied for years that I would bring you against them. This is what will happen in that day. When Gog attacks the land of Israel, my hot anger will be aroused, declares the sovereign Lord. In my zeal and fiery wrath, I declare that at that time there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the beasts of the field, every creature that moves along the ground, and all the people on the face of the earth will tremble at my presence. The mountains will be overturned, the cliffs will crumble, and every wall will fall to the ground. I will summon a sword against Gog on all my mountains, declares the sovereign Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. I will execute judgment on him with plague and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur on him, and on his troops, and on the many nations with him. And so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 39, New International Version, NIV. Son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around and drag you along. I will bring you from the far north and send you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will strike your bow from your left hand and make your arrows drop from your right hand. On the mountains of Israel you will fall, you and all your troops and the nations with you. I will give you as food to all kinds of carrion birds and to the wild animals. You will fall in the open field, for I have spoken, declares the sovereign Lord. I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in safety in the coastlands, and they will know that I am the Lord. I will make known my holy name among my people Israel. I will no longer let my holy name be profaned, and the nations will know that I, the Lord, am the Holy One in Israel. It is coming. It will surely take place, declares the sovereign Lord. This is the day I have spoken of. Then those who live in the towns of Israel will go out and use the weapons for fuel and burn them up. The small and large shields, the bows and arrows, the war clubs and spears. For 7 years they will use them for fuel. They will not need to gather wood from the fields or cut it from the forests, because they will use the weapons for fuel, and they will plunder those who plundered them and loot those who looted them, declares the sovereign Lord. On that day I will give Gog a burial place in Israel, in the valley of those who travel east of the sea. It will block the way of travelers, because Gog and all his hordes will be buried there. So it will be called the Valley of Ham and Gog. B. For 7 months the Israelites will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. All the people of the land will bury them, and the day I display my glory will be a memorable day for them, declares the sovereign Lord. People will be continually employed in cleansing the land. They will spread out across the land, and along with others, they will bury any bodies that are lying on the ground. After the 7 months, they will carry out a more detailed search. As they go through the land, anyone who sees a human bone will leave a marker beside it until the gravediggers bury it in the valley of Ham and Gog, near a town called Hamona, and so they will cleanse the land. Son of man, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Call out to every kind of bird and all the wild animals. Assemble and come together from all around to the sacrifice I am preparing for you, the great sacrifice on the mountains of Israel. There you will eat flesh and drink blood. You will eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, as if they were rams and lambs, goats and bulls, all of them fattened animals from Bashan. At the sacrifice I am preparing for you, you will eat fat till you are glutted and drink blood till you are drunk. At my table you will eat your fill of horses and riders, mighty men and soldiers of every kind, declares the sovereign Lord. I will display my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see the punishment I inflict and the hand I lay on them. From that day forward, the people of Israel will know that I am the Lord, their God, and the nations will know that the people of Israel went into exile for their sin, because they were unfaithful to me. So I hid my face from them and handed them over to their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. I dealt with them according to their uncleanness and their offenses, and I hid my face from them. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will now restore the fortunes of Jacob, and will have compassion on all the people of Israel, and I will be zealous for my holy name. They will forget their shame and all the unfaithfulness they showed toward me when they lived in safety in their land, with no one to make them afraid. When I have brought them back from the nations and have gathered them from their countries of their enemies, I will be proved holy through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord, their God. For though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the people of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. Genesis 25, New International Version, NIV. The death of Abraham. Abraham had taken another wife, whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan. The descendants of Dedan were the Asherites, the Letishites, and the Lumites. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanak, Abida, and Eldah. All these were descendants of Keturah. Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac, but while he was still living, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines and sent them away from his son Isaac to the land of the east. Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, near Mamre, in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar the Hittite, the field Abraham had bought from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who then lived near Beer Lahai Roy. Ishmael's sons. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Ishmael, whom Sarah's slave, Hagar, the Egyptian, bore to Abraham. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael, listed in the order of their birth: Nebaoth, the firstborn of Ishmael, Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masah, Hadad, Tema, Zetor, Naphish, and Kadima. These were the sons of Ishmael, and these are the names of the 12 tribal rulers according to their settlements and camps. Ishmael lived 137 years. He breathed his last and died, and he was gathered to his people. His descendants settled in the area from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt as you go toward Ashur, and they lived in hostility toward all the tribes related to them. Gog and Magog have been associated with various individuals and places. Gog has been identified by modern scholars with Gyges, a 7th century BCE king of Lydia, and with the Akkadian god Gaga. It has also been suggested that the name Magog is derived from an Akkadian word meaning the land of Gyges. Magog may simply mean from or out of Gog, since in the earlier texts, the phrases Gog and Magog is better rendered out of Gog. In the 1st century CE, the Jewish historian Josephus claimed that Gog and Magog were the Scythians, and in the 5th and 6th centuries, they were held to be the Huns. Gog and Magog were equated with the Magyars in the 10th century and with the entire Muslim world, led by Muhammad and Saladin in the Middle Ages. In both Jewish and Christian apocalyptic writings and other works, they were also identified with the 10 lost tribes of Israel. This is the rule of the trumpets. These are the trumpets of alarm for all their service for the armies of God and their commissioned men. The men will be set in divisions, by tens of thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. Upon the trumpets they will rely, and upon the sounds of the trumpets, which they shall create for the different sounds of the trumpets of the battle formations, and the trumpets for assembling them when the gates of the war are opened, so that the infantry will advance, and the trumpets for the signal of the slain, and the trumpets of the ambush, and the trumpets of pursuit when the enemy is vanquished, and the trumpets of reassembly when the battle returns. On the trumpets for the assembly of the congregation they shall write, the call of God. On the trumpets for the assembly of the chiefs they shall write, the princes of God. On the trumpets of the formations they shall write, the rule of God. On the trumpets of the men of renown they shall write, the heads of the congregation's clans. Then, when they are assembled at the house of meeting, they shall write, the testimonies of God for a holy congregation. On the trumpets of the camps they shall write, the peace of God in the camps of his saints. On the trumpets for their campaigns they shall write, the mighty deeds of God to scatter the enemy, and to put all those who hate justice to flight, and a withdrawal of mercy from all who hate God. On the trumpets of the battle formations they shall write, formations of the divisions of God, to avenge his anger on all sons of darkness. On the trumpets for assembling the infantry when the gates of war open, that they might go out against the battle line of the enemy, they shall write, a remembrance of requital at the appointed time of God. On the trumpets of the slain they shall write, the hand of the might of God in battle, so as to bring down all the slain because of unfaithfulness. On the trumpets of ambush they shall write, mysteries of God to wipe out wickedness. On the trumpets of pursuit they shall write, God has struck all of the sons of darkness. He shall not diminish his anger until they are annihilated. When they return from battle to enter the formation, they shall write on the trumpets of retreat, God has gathered. On the trumpets for the way of return from battle with the enemy to enter the congregation in Jerusalem, they shall write, the joy of God in a peaceful return. Ancient Jews believed Hebrew was the original language spoken by God and angels and passed down to Adam. Thus, the language and words have mystical powers. To speak or write Hebrew was to infuse the object spoken to or through with the thoughts and ideas conveyed by the words and bring them into existence, just as God spoke and the world came into existence. This would mean when the trumpets were blown, if the banners waved or weapons deployed, the words and idea written on the instruments would be transmitted to the listener or observer, and the messages written on them would become reality. This idea will hold true when statements are written on trumpets and banners, and especially when the slogans of war are written upon the weapons such as spears, slings, and swords used against the enemy. The description of the banners. This is the rule of the banners of the entire congregation, according to their formations. On the grand banner which is at the head of all the people they shall write, People of God, the names Israel and Aaron, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, according to their order of birth. On the banners of the heads of the camps of 3 tribes they shall write, The Spirit of God, and the names of 3 tribes. On the banner of each tribe they shall write, Standard of God, and the name of the leader of the tribe, and of its families. On the banner of the divisions of the 10,000, write the name of the leader of the 10,000, and the names of the chiefs of the army, and his hundreds. On the banner of Merari, they shall write the offering of God, and the name of the leader of Merari, and the names of the chiefs of his thousands. According to the Torah, Merari was one of the sons of Levi, and the patriarchal founder of the Merarites, one of the 4 main divisions among the Levites in biblical times. The Hebrew word Merari means sad or bitter, from where we also derive the name of Mary and Maria. The Merarites were charged with the care of the boards of the tabernacle and related items, as well as the pillars of the court all around and related components. Scholars speculate that there were 4 different groups among the Levites: the Gershonites, Kohathites, the Merarites, and Aaronites, or Aaronids. According to some biblical scholars, Levite was originally a job title deriving from the Minyan word Lawiu, meaning priest, rather than having been the name of a tribe. Later, the title, being passed down from father to son, became a tribe of its own. On the banner of the 1,000 they shall write, The anger of God is loosed against Belial and all the men of his forces, so that none remain. And the name of the chief of the 1,000, and the names of the chiefs of his hundreds. And on the banner of the 100 they shall write, Hundred of God, the power of war against the sinful flesh. And the name of the chief of the 100, and the names of the chiefs of his 10s, and on the banner of the 50, they shall write, The might of God have ended the stand of the wicked, and the name of the chief of the 50, and the names of the chiefs of his 10s. On the banner of the 1,000 they shall write, The anger of God is loosed against Belial, and all the men of his forces, so that none remain. When they go to battle, they shall write on their banners, The truth of God, the righteousness of God, the glory of God, the justice of God, and after these the list of their names in full. When they draw near for battle, they shall write on their banners, The right hand of God, the appointed time of God, the tumult of God, the slain of God. After these things, write their names in full. When they return from battle, they shall write on their banners, The exaltation of God, the greatness of God, the praise of God, the glory of God, with their names in full. The rule of the banner of the congregation. When they set out to battle, they shall write on the first banner, The congregation of God. On the second banner write, The camps of God. On the third write, The tribes of God. On the fourth write, The families of God. On the fifth write, The divisions of God. On the sixth write, The congregation of God. On the seventh write, Those called by God. And on the eighth write, The army of God. They shall write their names in full with all their order. When they come near for battle, they shall write on their banners, The battle of God, the recompense of God, the cause of God, the reprisal of God, the power of God, the retribution of God, the might of God, the destruction of all the prideful nations by God, and their names in full they shall write upon them. When they return from battle, they shall write on their banners, The deliverance of God, the victory of God, the help of God, the support of God, the joy of God, the thanksgivings of God, the praise of God, and the peace of God. The length of the banners. The banner of the entire congregation shall be 14 cubits long. The banner of 3 tribes shall be 13 cubits long. the banner of a tribe, 12 cubits, the banner of 10,000, 11 cubits, the banner of 1,000 shall be 10 cubits, the banner of 100 shall be 9 cubits, the banner of a group of 50 shall be 8 cubits, the banner of a group of 10 shall be 7 cubits. The description of the shields. And on the shield of the leader of the entire nation, they shall write his name, the names Israel, Levi, and Aaron, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, according to their order of birth, and the names of the 12 chiefs of their tribes. The description of the arming and deployment of the divisions. This is the rule for arranging the divisions for war when their army is complete to make up the forward battle line. The battle line shall be formed of 1,000 men. There shall be 7 forward rows to each battle line, arranged in order. The station of each man will be behind his fellow. All of them shall bear shields of bronze, polished like a face mirror. The shield shall be bound with a border of woven work and a design of loops, the work of a skillful workman consisting of gold, silver, and bronze bound together, and jewels in a multicolored brocade. It is the work of a skillful workman, artistically done. The length of the shield shall be 2.5 cubits, and its breadth 1.5 cubits. In their hands they can hold a lance and a sword. The length of the lance shall be 7 cubits, of which the socket and the blade constitute 0.5 cubit. On the socket there shall be 3 bands engraved as a border of woven work, of gold, silver, and copper, bound together like an artistically designed work. And in the loops of the design, on both sides of the band, all around, shall be precious stones, a multicolored brocade, the work of a skillful workman, artistically done, and an ear of grain. In general, gold, purity, and redemption, silver, wealth, bronze, strength, the symbolism of metals representing the 4 kingdoms in Daniel 2 and 3 is expanded in Exodus Rabbah 35:5. Gold is Babylon, silver is Media, copper is Greece, iron is Edom, Rome, etc. A symbolic meaning is found by Midrash Tadshi in the fact that of the 2 altars in the tabernacle and temple, one was overlaid with gold, the soul, the other with copper, the body. The socket shall be grooved between the bands like a column, artistically done. The blade shall be of shining white iron, the work of a skillful workman, artistically done, and an ear of grain of pure gold inlaid in the blade. The blade will be tapered towards the point. The sword shall be of refined iron, purified in the furnace, and polished like a face mirror, the work of a skillful workman, artistically done, with figures of ears of grain of pure gold embossed on both sides. The border shall go straight to the point, 2 on each side. The length of the sword shall be 1.5 cubits, and its width 4 fingers. The scabbard shall be 4 thumbs wide, and 4 handbreadths up to the scabbard. The scabbard shall be tied on either side with thongs of 5 handbreadths. The handle of the sword shall be of choice horn, the work of a skillful workman, a varicolored design, with gold and silver and precious stones. And when the troops take their stand, they shall arrange 7 battle lines, one behind the other, and there shall be a space between the lines, 30 cubits, where the infantry shall stand, the infantry forward, and they shall sling 7 times, and return to their position. After them, 3 divisions of infantry shall advance, and stand between the battle lines. The 1st division shall heave into the enemy battle line 7 battle spears. On the blade of the 1st spear they shall write, "Flash of a spear for the strength of God." On the 2nd weapon they shall write, "Missiles of blood to make fall the slain by the wrath of God." On the 3rd spear they shall write, "The blade of a sword devours the slain of wickedness by the judgment of God." Each of these they shall throw 7 times, and then return to their position. After these, 2 divisions of infantry shall march forth and stand between the 2 battle lines. The 1st division will be equipped with a spear and a shield, and the 2nd division with a shield and a sword, to bring down the slain by the judgment of God, to subdue the battle line of the enemy by the power of God, and to render recompense for their evil for all the prideful and arrogant nations. So the kingship shall belong to the God of Israel, and for the holy ones of his people, he shall act powerfully. The description of the deployment of the cavalry. 7 rows of horsemen shall also take position at the right and at the left of the battle line. Their ranks shall be positioned on both sides, 700 horsemen on one side, and 700 on the other. 200 horsemen shall go out with 1,000 men of the battle line of the infantry, and they shall take position on all sides of the camp, the total being 4,600 men, and 1,400 cavalry for the entire army, arranged for the battle line, 50 for each battle line. The horsemen with the cavalry of the men of the entire army will be 6,000 made up by 500 to a tribe. All the cavalry that go out to battle with the infantry shall ride stallions that are swift, responsive, unrelenting, mature, trained for battle, and accustomed to hearing noises and seeing all kinds of scenes. Those who ride them shall be men capable in battle, trained in horsemanship, the range of their age from 30 to 45 years. The head horsemen of the army shall be from 40 to 50 years old, and they shall wear helmets and greaves, shin protectors, carrying in their hands round shields and a lance 8 cubits long, and a bow and arrows and battle spears, all of them prepared in accordance to instructions to shed the blood of their guilty slain. These are the instructions of the horsemen. The recruitment and age of the soldiers. The men of the army shall be from 40 to 50 years old. The commissioners of the camps shall be from 50 to 60 years old. The officers shall also be from 40 to 50 years old. All those who strip the slain, plunder the spoil, cleanse the land, guard the arms, and he who prepares the provisions, all these shall be from 25 to 30 years old. No youth nor woman shall enter their encampments from the time they leave Jerusalem to go to battle until their return. No one crippled, blind, nor lame, nor a man who has a permanent blemish on his skin, or a man affected with ritual uncleanness of his flesh. None of these shall go with them to battle. All of them shall be volunteers for battle, pure of spirit and flesh, and prepared for the day of vengeance. Any man who is not ritually clean in respect to his genitals on the day of battle shall not go down with them into battle, for holy angels are present with their army. There shall be a distance between all their camps and the latrine of about 2,000 cubits, and no shameful nakedness shall be seen in the areas of all their camps. The ministry of the priests and the Levites. When the battle line are arrayed against the enemy battle line, shall be 7 priests that will go through from the middle opening into the gap between the battle lines. The priests will be of the sons of Aaron, dressed in fine white linen garments, consisting of a linen tunic and linen breeches, and girded with a linen sash of twined fine linen of violet, purple, and crimson, and a multicolored colored sign, and decorated caps on their heads, and the garments for battle shall be the work of a skillful workman, and they shall not take them into the sanctuary. The one priest shall walk before all the men of the battle line to encourage them for battle. In the hands of the remaining 6 shall be the trumpets of assembly, the trumpets of memorial, the trumpets of the alarm, the trumpets of pursuit, and the trumpets of reassembly. When the priests go out into the gap between the battle lines, 7 Levites shall go out with them. In their hands shall be 7 trumpets of ram's horns. 3 officers from among the Levites shall walk before the priests and the Levites. The priests shall blow the 2 trumpets of assembly, and there shall proceed men with the words of battle upon 50 shields, and 50 infantrymen shall go out from the one gate, and the Levites, officers. With each battle line they shall go out according to all, if the orders given. The men of the infantry shall go out from the gates, and they shall take position between the 2 battle lines, and join the battle. Then the priests shall raise the trumpets and shall blow continually, to direct the slingmen, until they have completed hurling 7 times. Afterwards, the priests shall blow on the trumpets of return, and they shall go along the side of the first battle line to take their position. The priests shall blow on the trumpets of assembly, and the 3 divisions of infantry shall go out from the gates and stand between the battle lines, and beside them the cavalrymen, sat the right and at the left. The priests shall blow on their trumpets a level note, signals for the order of battle, and the columns shall be deployed into their formations, each to his position. When they have positioned themselves in three formations, the priests shall blow for them a second signal, a low legato note, signals for advance, until they come near the battle line of the enemy and take hold of their weapons. Then the priests shall blow on the six trumpets of the slain, a sharp staccato note, to direct the battle. And the Levites and all the people with ram's horns shall blow a great battle alarm together in order to melt the heart of the enemy. With the sound of the alarm, the battle spear shall fly out to bring down the slain. Then the sound of the ram's horn shall quiet. But on the trumpets, the priest shall continue to blow a sharp staccato note to direct the signals of battle until they have hurled into the battle line of the enemy 7 times. Afterwards, the priest shall blow for them the trumpets of retreat, a low note, level and legato, smooth. According to this rule, the priest shall blow for the 3 divisions. When the 1st division throws, the priests and the Levites and all the people with ram's horns shall blow a great alarm to direct the battle until they have hurled 7 times. Afterwards, the priests shall, on the trumpets of retreat, blow for them, and they shall take their stand in their positions in the battle line, and shall take up position in front of the slain, and all the people with ram's horns shall blow a very loud battle alarm, and as the sound goes out, their hands shall begin to bring down the slain, and all the people shall quiet the sound of alarm, but the priests shall continue sounding on the trumpets of the slain to direct the fighting, until the enemy is defeated and turns in retreat. The shofar, ram's horn, is often used as an instrument of spiritual warfare. The Torah states, when you go to war in your land against an adversary who is oppressing you, you are to sound an alarm with trumpets. Then you will be remembered before the Lord, your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Numbers 10:9. It is sounded during Shavuot and the high holy days. The priest shall blow the alarm to direct the battle, and when they have been defeated before them, the priest shall blow the trumpets of assembly, and all the infantry shall go out to them from the midst of the front battle lines and stand. 6 divisions, in addition to the division which is engaged in battle, altogether 7 battle lines, 28,000 soldiers, and 6,000 horsemen. All these shall pursue in order to destroy the enemy in God's battle, a total annihilation. The priests shall blow for them the trumpets of pursuit, and they shall divide themselves for a pursuit of annihilation against all the enemy. The cavalry shall push the enemy back at the flanks of the battle until they are destroyed. When the slain have fallen, the priests shall continue blowing from afar and shall not enter into the midst of the slain so as to be defiled by their unclean blood, for they are holy. They shall not allow the oil of their priestly anointment to be profaned with the blood of the vainglorious nations. We continually see the alternating and interposed numbers of 6 and 7. Trumpets sound 6 times. Weapons are deployed 7 times in a row by a soldier before the next soldier steps up and deploys 7 more times. 6 times the trumpets are blown by the priests. The priests represent the highest spiritual level of man, which always falls short and needs God. This is the meaning of 6. 7 represents the power and perfection of God, who is guiding the weapons. Both weapons and trumpets are inscribed with the words of faith and action given to the people by God. The description of the maneuvers of the battle divisions. This is the rule for changing the order of the battle divisions. In order to arrange their position against the enemy in a pincer movement, and towers, line, arc, and towers, and as it draws slowly forward, then the columns and the flanks go out from the 2 sides of the battle line, that the enemy might become discouraged. The shields of the soldiers of the towers shall be 3 cubits long, and their lances 8 cubits long. The towers shall go out from the battle line with 100 shields on a side. They shall surround the tower on the 3 frontmost sides, 300 shields in all. There shall be 3 gates to a tower, 1 on the right and 1 on the left. Upon all the shields of the tower soldiers, they shall write, on the 1st, Michael, and on the 2nd, Gabriel, on the 3rd, Sirio, and on the 4th, Raphael. Michael and Gabriel on the right, and Raphael and Sirio on the left. And push the enemy to the 4th side. They shall establish an ambush for the battle line of three sides, and they shall fall on the slain. Michael is a male-given name that comes from the Hebrew, who is like God, literally, who is like El. Michael is mentioned three times in the book of Daniel, once as a great prince who stands up for the children of your people. The idea that Michael was the advocate of the Jews became so prevalent, a rabbinical prohibition was issued against appealing to angels as intermediaries between God and his people. Michael came to occupy a certain place in the Jewish liturgy as the general over God's army. Gabriel, God is my strength. Gabriel is an archangel who, according to several religions, typically serves as a messenger sent from God to certain people. He appeared to the prophet Daniel, delivering explanations of Daniel's visions. Daniel 8:15 through 26, 9:21 through 27. In the Gospel of Luke, Gabriel appeared to Zacharias and to the Virgin Mary, foretelling the births of John the Baptist and Jesus, respectively. Luke 1:11 through 38. He is mentioned in the intertestamental period sources, such as the Book of Enoch, Roman Catholic, Anglican, Lutheran, Eastern and Oriental Orthodox churches reference the archangels Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel. Raphael. It is God who heals. Raphael is the fourth major angel. In Muslim tradition, he is known as Israfil. Raphael is mentioned in the Book of Tobit, which is accepted as canonical by Catholics, Orthodox, and some Anglo-Catholic churches. The book is considered useful for public teaching by Lutherans and Anglicans. Raphael is generally associated with the angel mentioned in the Gospel of John as stirring the water at the healing pool of Bethesda. Sirio, command of God, God's command, alternate translation, minister of God, is one of the archangels mainly from Judaic tradition. Other possible versions of his name are Suriel, Suriel, in some Dead Sea Scrolls translations, Sariel, Suria, Sarakiel, Sarakiel, Saruel, Sarufel, and Sariel. Suriel is a prince of presence and, like Raphael, an angel of healing. He is also a benevolent angel of death, one of a few. Suriel was sent to retrieve the soul of Moses. The address of the chief priest. Codex corrupted, of our camps, and to keep ourselves from any shameful nakedness. And he, Moses, told us that you are in our midst, and you are a great and awesome God, plundering all of our enemies before us. He taught us from the times of old, throughout generations, saying, when you approach the battle, the priest shall stand and speak unto the people, saying, hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be afraid, nor faint-hearted. Do not tremble, nor be terrified because of them. For your God goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Deuteronomy 20, New International Version, NIV. Going to war. When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord, your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you are about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, hear, Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. For the Lord, your God, is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Our officers shall speak to all those prepared for battle, those of willing heart, to strengthen them by the might of God, to turn back all who have lost heart, and to strengthen all the valiant warriors together. They shall recount that which you have spoken by the hand of Moses, saying, and when there is a war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you might be remembered before your God, and be saved from your enemies. Numbers 10, New International Version. The Silver Trumpets. The Lord said to Moses, make two trumpets of hammered silver, and use them for calling the community together, and for having the camp set out. When both are sounded, the whole community is to assemble before you at the entrance to the tent of meeting. If only one is sounded, the leaders, the heads of the clans of Israel, are to assemble before you. When a trumpet blast is sounded, the tribes camping on the east are to set out. At the sounding of a second blast, the camps on the south are to set out. The blast will be the signal for setting out. To gather the assembly, blow the trumpets, but not with the signal for setting out. The sons of Aaron, the priests, are to blow the trumpets. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you and the generations to come. When you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets. Then you will be remembered by the Lord, your God, and rescued from your enemies. Also at your times of rejoicing, your appointed festivals and new moon feasts, you are to sound the trumpets over your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, and they will be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord, your God. The prayer of the chief priest. Who is like you, O God of Israel, in heaven and on earth, that he can perform like you do with your great works and your great strength? Who is like your people Israel, whom you have chosen for yourself from all the peoples of the lands? They are people sanctified by the covenant, learned in the statutes, enlightened in understanding. Those who hear the glorious voice and see the holy angels, whose ears are open to hearing deep things. O God, you have created the expanse of the skies, the host of the stars, luminaries, the work of spirits and the dominion of holy ones, the treasures of your glory in the clouds. Revelations 21:7. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. But with the righteous he will make peace, and will protect the elect, and mercy shall be on them, and they shall all belong to God, and they shall prosper, and they shall be blessed, and the light of God shall shine on them. And behold, he comes with 10,000 of his holy ones, saints, to execute judgment on all, and to destroy all the ungodly, wicked, and to convict all flesh of all the works of their ungodliness, which they have ungodly committed, and of all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Revelations 21:23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. Jude 1:14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. He who created the earth and the limits of her divisions into wilderness and plains, and autumn, winter, and spring with its fruits, the circle of the seas, the sources of the rivers, and the rift of the deeps, wild beasts and winged creatures, the form of man and the generations of his seed, the confusion of language and the separation of peoples, the abode of families which have the inheritance of the lands, and holy festivals, courses of years, and times of eternity. The Book of Enoch, Chapter 2. Observe everything that takes place in the sky, how the lights do not change their orbits, and the luminaries which are in heaven, how they all rise and set in order each in its season, proper time, and do not transgress, defy, their appointed order. Consider the earth, and understand the things which take place on it from start to finish, how steadfast they are, how none of the things on the earth change, but all the works of God appear to you. Behold the summer and the winter, how the whole earth is filled with water, and clouds and dew and rain lie on it. Chapter 3. Observe and see how, in the winter, all the trees seem as though they had withered and shed all their leaves, except 14 trees, which do not lose their foliage, but retain the old foliage from 2 to 3 years until the new comes. Chapter 4. And again, observe the days of summer, how the sun is above the earth, and you seek shade and shelter because of the heat of the sun, and the earth also burns with growing heat, and so you cannot walk on the earth or on a rock because of its heat. Chapter 5. Observe how the trees are covered with green leaves and how they bear fruit. Understand, know, and recognize that He that lives forever made them this way for you, and all His works go on before Him from year to year forever, and all the work and the tasks which they accomplish for Him do not change, and so is it done. Consider how the sea and the rivers in like manner accomplish their course, do not change because of His commandments. But you have neither held to, nor have you done the commandments of the Lord. But you have turned away and spoken proud and hard words with your unclean mouths against His greatness. O, you hard-headed, you shall find no peace. Therefore shall you curse your days, and the years of your life shall perish, and the years of your destruction shall be multiplied, and in an eternal curse you shall find no mercy. In those days you shall make your names an eternal curse to all the righteous, and by you shall all who curse, curse, and all the sinners and godless shall curse you forever, and for you, the godless, there shall be a curse, and all the elect shall rejoice, and there shall be forgiveness of sins, and mercy, and peace, and forbearance, and joy. There shall be salvation for them, like and a good light. And for all of you sinners, there shall be no salvation. But on you all shall abide a curse. But for the elect, there shall be light, and joy, and peace, and they shall inherit the earth. And then wisdom shall be given to the elect, and they shall all live, and never again sin, either through forgetfulness or through pride. But those who are given wisdom shall be humble, and they shall not again transgress, nor shall they sin all the days of their life, nor shall they die of the anger or wrath of God, but they shall complete the number of the days of their lives, and their lives shall be increased in peace, and their years will grow in joy and eternal gladness and peace all the days of their lives. Deuteronomy 11:26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord, your God, that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord, your God, and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods, which you have not known. Isaiah 65. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens, and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh, and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burnt incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. And one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth the seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. And mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Only these we know from your understanding, which you have taught us, and your ears listen to our cry for the protection of this house. Truly the battle is yours, and by the strength of your hand their corpses have been broken to pieces, without anyone to bury them. Indeed, Goliath the Gittite, a mighty man of valor, you delivered into the hand of David, your servant, because he trusted in your great name, and not in sword and spear. For the battle is yours. He subdued the Philistines many times by your holy name, Also by the hand of our kings, you rescued us many times because of your mercy, not according to our works, for we have acted wickedly, nor for the acts of our rebelliousness. The battle is yours, the strength is from you, it is not our own. Neither our power nor the strength of our hand have done valiantly, but rather by your power and the strength of your great valor. Just as you told us in time past, saying, There shall come forth a star out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall crush the forehead of Moab, and tear down all sons of Sheth, the noisy boasters. And he shall descend on Jacob, and shall destroy the remnant from the city, and the enemy shall be a possession, and Israel shall do valiantly. Numbers 24, New International Version, NIV. Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not resort to divination as to other times, but turned his face toward the wilderness. When Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came on him, and he spoke his message. The prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of one whose eyes see clearly, the prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, and whose eyes are opened. How beautiful are your tents, Jacob, your dwelling places, Israel. Like valleys they spread out, like gardens beside a river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from their buckets, their seed will have abundant water. Their king will be greater than Agag, their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. They devour hostile nations, and break their bones in pieces. With their arrows they pierce them. Like a lion they crouch and lie down, like a lioness. Who dares to rouse them? May those who bless you be blessed, and those who curse you be cursed. Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said to him, I summoned you to curse my enemies, but you have blessed them these three times. Now leave at once and go home. I said I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded. Balaam answered Balak, Did I not tell the messengers you sent me? Even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything of my own accord, good or bad, to go beyond the command of the Lord, and I must say only what the Lord says. Now I am going back to my people, but come, let me warn you of what this people will do to your people in days to come. Balaam's fourth message. Then he spoke his message, the prophecy of Balaam son of Beor, the prophecy of one whose eyes see clearly, the prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, and whose eyes are opened. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. Edom will be conquered. Seir, his enemy, will be conquered. But Israel will grow strong. A ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. Balaam's fifth message. Then Balaam saw Amalek and spoke his message. Amalek was first among the nations, but their end will be utter destruction. Balaam's sixth message. Then he saw the Kenites and spoke his message. Your dwelling place is secure, your nest is set in a rock, yet you Kenites will be destroyed when Ashur takes you captive. Balaam's seventh message. Then he spoke his message. Alas, who can live when God does this? Ships will come from the shores of Cyprus. They will subdue Ashur and Eber, but they too will come to ruin. Then Balaam got up and returned home, and Balak went his own way. By the hand of your anointed ones, seers of things appointed, you have told us about the times of the wars of your hands in order that you may glorify yourself and fight among our enemies to bring down the hordes of Belial, the seven nations of empty, boasting, prideful nations, at the hand of the oppressed whom you have redeemed with power and retribution and wondrous strength. A heart that melts shall be as a door of hope. You will do to them as you did to Pharaoh and the officers of his chariots in the Red Sea. You will ignite the humble spirit like a fiery torch of fire in a sheaf, consuming the wicked. You shall not turn back until the annihilation of the guilty. In time past, you foretold the appointed time for your hand is powerful work against the Kittim, saying, And Assyria shall fall by a sword, not of man, and a sword, not of men, shall consume him. Isaiah 31, New International Version, NIV. Woe to those who rely on Egypt. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in their multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. Yet he too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back his words. He will rise up against that wicked nation, against those who help evildoers. But the Egyptians are mere mortals and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, those who help will stumble. Those who are helped will fall. All will perish together. This is what the Lord says to me. As a lion growls, a great lion over its prey, and though a whole band of shepherds is called together against it, it is not frightened by their shouts or disturbed by their clamor. So the Lord Almighty will come down to do battle on Mount Zion and on its heights. Like birds hovering overhead, the Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will shield it and deliver it. He will pass over it and will rescue it. Return, you Israelites, to the one you have so greatly revolted against. For in that day, every one of you will reject the idols of silver and gold your sinful hands have made. Assyria will fall by no human sword. A sword, not of mortals, will devour them. They will flee before the sword, and their young men will be put to forced labor. Their stronghold will fall because of terror. At the sight of the battle standard, their commanders will panic, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jerusalem. For into the hand of the oppressed you will deliver the enemies of all the lands, into the hands of those who are prostrate in the dust, in order to bring down all mighty men of faithless peoples, to return the recompense of the wicked on the head of the guilty, to pronounce the fair judgment of your truth on all sons of man, and to make for yourself an everlasting name among the people. Give us victory in wars, and to show yourself great and holy before the remnant of the nations, so that they may know that you are God when you carry out judgments on Gog and on all his company that are assembled all around us. For you will do battle against them from the heavens, and heap upon them for confusion. For you have a multitude of holy ones in the heavens, and hosts of angels in your exalted dwelling to praise your name. The chosen ones of the holy people you have established for yourself in a community. The number in the book of the names of all their host is with you in your holy dwelling, and the number of the holy ones is in the abode of your glory. Mercies of blessing is with them, and your covenant of peace you engrave for them with a stylus of life in order to reign over them for all time, commissioning the hosts of your elect by their thousands and tens of thousands together with your holy ones and your angels, directing them in battle so as to condemn the earthly adversaries by trial with your judgments. With the elect of heaven they shall prevail. And you, O God, are awesome in the glory of your dominion, and the company of your holy ones is in our midst for eternal support. We shall direct our contempt at kings, derision and disdain at mighty men, for the Lord is holy, and the King of glory is with us together with the holy ones. Mighty men and a host of angels are with our commissioned forces. The hero of war is with our company, and the host of his spirits is with our steps. Our horse riders are as the clouds, and as the mist covering the earth, and as a steady downpour shedding judgment on all her offspring. Rise up, O hero, take your captives, O glorious one, take your plunder, O you who do valiantly. Lay your hand upon the neck of your enemies, and your foot upon the backs of the slain. Crush the nations, your adversaries, and may your sword devour guilty flesh. Fill your land with glory, and your inheritance with blessing. The Book of Enoch, the Book of Watchers, chapters 1 through 36. Chapter 1. The words of the blessing of Enoch, with which he blessed the elect and righteous, who will be living in the days of tribulation, when all the wicked and godless people are to be removed from the earth. And he began his story saying, I am Enoch, a righteous man, whose eyes were opened by God, and who saw the vision of the Holy One in heaven, which the angel showed me. And I heard everything from them, and I saw and understood. But it was not for this generation to know, but for a remote one which is to come. As I began my story concerning the elect, I said, the Holy Great One will come out from his dwelling, and the Eternal God will tread on the earth, even on Mount Sinai, and appear in the strength of his might from heaven. And all shall be very afraid. The watchers shall shake, and great fear and trembling shall seize them all the way to the ends of the earth. And the high mountains shall be shaken, and the high hills shall be laid low, and shall melt like wax in the flame. And the earth shall be completely torn apart, and all that is on the earth shall be destroyed, and there shall be a judgment on all. An abundance of cattle in your fields, silver and gold and precious stones in your palaces. O Zion, rejoice greatly, and shine with joyful songs. O Jerusalem, rejoice, all your cities of Judah. Open your gates forever, that the wealth of the nations might be brought to you, and their kings shall serve you. David was king, and his praise was to ring out, shine. All they that oppressed you shall bow down to you, and the dust of your feet they shall lick. O daughters of my people, shout out with the voice of joy. Adorn yourselves with ornaments of glory. Rule over the kingdom, and Israel to reign eternally. Codex Corrupted. Them, the mighty men of war. O Jerusalem, be exalted above the heavens. O Lord, and let your glory be above all the earth. The blessings of the war recited by all the leaders after the victory. And then the chief priest shall stand, and his brothers the priests, the Levites, and all the elders of the army with him. They shall bless from their position the God of Israel and all his works of truth. And they shall curse Belial there and all the spirits of his forces. And they shall say in response, blessed is the God of Israel for all his holy purpose and his works of truth. And blessed are those who serve him righteously, who know him by faith. And cursed is Belial for his contentious purpose, and accursed for his reprehensible rule. And cursed are all the spirits of his lot for their wicked purpose. Accursed are they for all their filthy, dirty service, for they are the lot of darkness. But the lot of God is light eternal. You are the God of our fathers. We bless your name forever, for we are an eternal people. You made a covenant with our fathers, and will establish it for their seed throughout the ages of eternity. In all the testimonies of your glory, there has been remembrance of your kindness in our midst, as an assistance to the remnant and the survivors for the sake of your covenant, and to recount your works of truth and the judgments of your wondrous strength. And you, O God, created us for yourself as an eternal people, and into the lot of light, you cast us in accordance with your truth. You appointed the Prince of Light from of old to assist us, for in his lot are all sons of righteousness, and all spirits of truth are in his dominion. You yourself made Belial for the pit, an angel of malevolence. His dominion is in darkness, and his counsel is to condemn and convict. All the spirits of his lot are the angels of destruction, who walk in accord with the rule of darkness, for it is their only desire. But we, in the lot of your truth, rejoice in your mighty hand. We rejoice in your salvation, and revel in your help and your peace. Who is like you in strength, O God of Israel? And yet your mighty hand is with the oppressed. What angel or prince is like you for your effectual support? For of old you appointed for yourself a day of great battle to support truth and to destroy iniquity, to bring darkness low and to lend might to light, and for an eternal stand and to annihilate all the sons of darkness and bring joy to all the sons of light. For you yourself designated us for an appointed time like the fire of his fury against the idols of Egypt. The blessings of the war recited by all the leaders in the morning before the battle, after they have withdrawn from the slain to enter the camp, all of them shall sing the hymn of return. In the morning they shall wash their clothes, cleanse themselves of the blood of the sinful bodies, and return to the place where they had stood, where they had formed the battle line before the slain of the enemy fell. There they shall all bless the God of Israel, and together they shall joyously exalt his name. They shall say in response, blessed is the God of Israel, who guards loving kindness for his covenant and the appointed times of salvation for the people he redeems. He has called those who stumble unto wondrous accomplishments, and he has gathered a congregation of nations for annihilation without remnant in order to raise up in judgment he whose heart has melted, to open a mouth for the dumb to sing God's mighty deeds, and to teach feeble hands warfare. He gives those whose knees shake strength to stand, and strengthens those who have been beaten from the hips to the shoulder. Among the poor in spirit, there is not a hard heart, and by those whose way is perfect shall all wicked nations come to an end. There will be no place for all their mighty men, but we are the remnant of your people. Blessed is your name, O God of loving kindness, the one who kept the covenant for our forefathers. Throughout all our generations, you have made your mercies wondrous for the remnant of the people during the dominion of Belial. With all the mysteries of his hatred, they have not led us astray from your covenant. His spirits of destruction you have driven away from us, and when the men of his dominion condemn themselves, you have preserved the lives of your redeemed. You have raised up the small fallen by your strength, but those who are great in height you will cut down to humble them. And there is no rescuer for all their mighty men, and no place of refuge for their swift ones. To their honored men you will return shame, and all their vain existence shall be as nothing. But we, your holy people, shall praise your name for your works of truth. Because of your mighty deeds, we shall exalt your splendor in epochs and appointed times of eternity, at the beginning of day, at night, and at dawn and dusk. For your glorious purpose is great, and your wondrous mysteries are in your high heavens, to raise up those for yourself from the dust, and to humble those of the gods. Rise up, O God of gods, and raise yourself in power, O King of kings, and let all the sons of darkness scatter from before you. Let the light of your majesty shine forever upon gods and men, as a fire burning in the dark places of the damned. Let it burn the damned of Sheol, who are eternal burning among the transgressors, throughout all the appointed times of eternity. Comments such as God of Israel, King of kings, and God of gods, shows a belief in polytheism, or an acceptance that there were other gods worshipped by other peoples. These gods were viewed as lesser, but apparently still acknowledged as gods. They shall repeat all the thanksgiving hymns of battle there, and then return to their camps, for it is a time of distress for Israel, a fixed time of battle against all the nations. The purpose of God is eternal redemption and annihilation for all nations of wickedness. All those prepared for battle shall set out and camp opposite the king of the Kittim, and all the forces of Belial that are assembled with him, for a day of vengeance by the sword of God. The final battle, the first engagement. Then the chief priest shall stand, and with him his brothers the priests, the Levites, and all the men of the army. He shall read aloud the prayer for the appointed time of battle, as is written in the book, the rule of his time, including all the words of their thanksgivings. Then he shall form there all the battle lines, as written in the book of the war. Then the priest, appointed for the time of vengeance by all his brothers, shall walk about and encourage them for the battle. And he shall say in response, "Be strong and courageous as warriors. Fear not, nor be discouraged, and let not your heart be faint. Do not panic, neither be alarmed because of them. Do not turn back, nor flee from them. For they are a wicked congregation. All their deeds are in darkness. It is their desire. They have established all their refuge in a lie. Their strength is as smoke that vanishes, and all their vast assembly is as chaff which blows away. And they will become a desolation, and shall not be found. Every creature of greed shall wither quickly away like a flower at harvest time. Come, strengthen yourselves for the battle of God. For this day is an appointed time of battle for God against all the nations, and bring judgment upon all flesh. The God of Israel is raising his hand in his wondrous strength against all the spirits of wickedness, and the mighty ones of the gods are girding themselves for battle, and the formations of the holy ones are readying themselves for a day of vengeance against the God of Israel. But he will hasten to remove Belial and his hell until every source of him is come to an end. For the God of Israel has called out a sword against all the nations, and by the holy ones of his people he will do mightily. They shall carry out all the rule on that day, at the place where they stand opposite the camps of the Kittim. Then the priest shall blow for them the trumpets of remembrance. The gates of war shall open, and the infantry shall go out and stand in columns between the battle lines and stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22:30, New International Version. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one. The priest shall blow for them a signal for the formation, and the column shall deploy at the sound of the trumpets, until each man has taken his station. Then the priest shall blow for them a second signal, which is the signal for confrontation. When they stand near the battle line of the Kittim, within throwing range, each man shall raise his hand with his weapon of war. Then the six priests shall blow on the trumpets of the slain, a sharp staccato note to direct the fighting. The Levites and all the people with ram's horns shall blow a battle signal, a loud noise. As the sound goes forth, the infantry shall begin to bring down the slain of the Kittim, and all the people shall cease the signal. But the priests shall continue blowing on the trumpets of the slain, and the battle shall prevail against the Kittim. The final battle, the second engagement. When Belial prepares himself to assist the sons of darkness, and the slain among the infantry begin to fall by God's mysteries, to test by these mysteries, and all those appointed for battle, the priests shall blow the trumpets of assembly, so that another battle line might go forth as a battle reserve, and they shall take up position between the battle lines. For those employed in battle, they shall blow a signal to return. Then the chief priest shall approach and stand before the battle line, and shall encourage their heart by the wondrous might of God, and fortify their hands for his battle. And he shall say in response, "Blessed is God, for he tests the heart of his people in the crucible. And do not worry about your slain, for you have obeyed, from of old, the mysteries of God. Now, as for you, take courage and stand in the gap. Do not fear when God strengthens you, for in the land he shall appoint their retribution with burning, for those tested by the crucible. He shall sharpen the implements of war, and they shall not become blunt until all the nations of wickedness come to an end. But as for you, remember the judgment of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, by whose judgment God showed himself holy before all the people. But Eleazar and Ithamar he preserved for himself for an eternal covenant of priesthood. But as for you, take courage and do not fear them, for their end is emptiness and their desire is for the void. Their support is without strength, and they do not know that from the God of Israel is all that is and that will be. He alone is, and all which exists for eternity. Today is his appointed time to subdue and to humiliate the prince of the realms of wickedness. He will send eternal support to the company of his redeemed, by the power of the majestic angel of the authority of Michael. By eternal light, he shall joyfully light up the covenant of Israel, peace and blessing for the lot of God, to exalt the authority of Michael among the gods in the dominion of Israel, among all flesh. Righteousness shall rejoice on high, and all sons of his truth shall rejoice in eternal knowledge. But as for you, O sons of his covenant, take courage in God's crucible, until he shall wave his hand and complete his fiery trials, his mysteries concerning your existence. In the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, and the book of Numbers, Nadab and Abihu were respectively the eldest and second eldest of the sons of Aaron. They offered a sacrifice with strange fire before the Lord, disobeying his instructions. They were consumed immediately by God's fire. The priests were commanded not to mourn, but the people at large were permitted. The final battle, the third engagement. And after these words, the priests shall blow for them a signal to form the divisions of the battle line. The column shall be deployed at the sound of the trumpets, until each man has taken his station. Then the priests shall blow another signal on the trumpets. That is the signal for confrontation. When the infantry has approached the battle line at the Kittim, within throwing range, each man shall raise his hand with his weapon. Then the priest shall blow on the trumpets of the slain, and the Levites and all the people with ram's horns shall sound a signal for battle. The infantry shall attack the army of the Kittim, and as the sound of the signal goes forth, they shall begin to bring down their slain. Then all the people shall cease the sound of the signal. When the priests continuously blow on the trumpets of the slain, and the battle prevails against the Kittim, and the troops of Belial are defeated before them. Thus, in the third lot, the army are destined to fall slain. Author's note. The sections of the final battle involving the fourth, fifth, and sixth engagements are not legible. The codex has large pieces missing. Nothing of these engagements is preserved. The final battle, the seventh engagement. And in the seventh lot, the great hand of God shall be lifted up against Belial, and against all the forces of his dominion for an eternal slaughter. The shout of the Holy Ones will go forth when they pursue Assyria. Then the sons of Japheth shall fall, never to rise again, and the Ketum shall be crushed without remnant or survivor. So the God of Israel shall raise his hand against the entire multitude of Belial. At that time, the priest shall sound a signal on the six trumpets of remembrance, and all the battle formations shall be gathered to them and divide against all the camps of the Ketim to completely destroy them. And when the sun hastens to set on that day, the chief priests and the priests and the Levites who are with him, and the chiefs of the battle lines and the men of the army, shall bless the God of Israel there. They shall say in response, "Blessed is your name, O God of gods, for you have done wondrous things for your people, and have kept your covenant for us from of old. Many times you have opened the gates of salvation for us for the sake of your covenant, and you provided for our affliction in accord with your goodness toward us. You, O God of righteousness, have acted for the sake of your name. Thanksgiving for final victory. You have done wonders upon wonders with us, but from times of old there has been nothing like it. For you have known our appointed time. Today your power has shined forth for us, and you have shown us the hand of your mercies with us in eternal redemption, in order to remove the dominion of the enemy, that it might be no more. This is the hand of your strength. In battle, you shall show yourself strong against our enemies for an absolute slaughter. Now the day is pressing upon us to pursue their multitude. For you go before us, and the heart of warriors you have broken so that no one is able to stand. Yours is the might, and the battle is in your hand, and there is no God like you. Your Codex Corrupted, and the appointed times of your will, and reprisal, Codex Corrupted. Your enemies, and you will cut off from, Codex Corrupted. And we shall direct our contempt at kings, and our derision and disdain at mighty men, for our majestic one is holy. The King of Glory is with us, and the host of his spirits is with our steps. Our horsemen are as the clouds, and as the mist covering the earth, as a steady downpour shedding judgment on all her creation. Rise up, O hero, take your captives, O glorious one, and take your plunder, O you who do valiantly. Lay your hand upon the neck of your enemies, and your foot upon the backs of the slain. Crush the nations, your adversaries, and let your sword devour flesh. Fill your land with glory, and your inheritance with blessing. An abundance of cattle is in your fields, silver and gold in your palaces. O Zion, rejoice greatly, and rejoice, all you cities of Judah. Open your gates forever, so that the wealth of the nations might be brought to you, and their king shall serve you. All they that oppressed you shall bow down to you, and they shall lick the dust of your feet. O daughters of my people, burst out with a voice of joy. Adorn yourselves with ornaments of glory, and rule over the kingdom of the Ketim. Your Codex Corrupted, and Israel for an eternal dominion. Ceremony after the final battle. Then they shall gather in the camp that night for rest until the morning. In the morning they shall come to the place of the battle line, where the mighty men of the Ketim fell, as well as the multitude of Assyria, and the forces of all the nations that were assembled unto them, to see whether the multitude of slain are dead with none to bury them, those who fell there by the sword of God. And the high priest shall approach there with his deputy, his brothers the priests, and the Levites with the leader of the battle, and all the chiefs of the battle lines and their officers, and they shall come together. When they stand before the slain of the Ketim, they shall praise there the God of Israel, and they shall say in response, "Glory to God, Most High."